Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's another glorious Sunday morning, and it's time to get together here at Murray Grace Fellowship to have our online Sunday service. That's a year now that we've been having to do this without being able to come together and worship. I'm really hoping and praying that it's not too long before we can meet together as a church in the building at Langbride. I'm still working on that. Hopefully we'll have an announcement during the week if we're going to be meeting on Sunday together. If not, we'll still be here. But here's hoping that in the very near future, we'll be able to get together as Murray Grace Fellowship. For the many people that have joined us and are joining us online, we will still be online as well. We're not going to completely cut off that. We're going to carry on all our online stuff as well. Online meetings, I should say, rather. So, welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. We are an independent Christian fellowship, preaching the word, preaching the finished work of Jesus Christ, preaching here in the northeast of Scotland. So it's so good to have you with us this morning. Let me start with a psalm. I do like starting with a psalm on a Sunday morning. I have my favourite ones and I try to not go to them too often. But I thought I'd read the start of Psalm 113 this morning to kick off our service. And it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." Now, I love repetition in Scripture. If we see something twice, it's important. Well, everything's important. But if we see something twice, we need to take notice of it. In this first verse, we see it three times. We need to be praising him. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And glory is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens." Yes, even in this time of lockdown, guys, we can get together like this and praise him. You can praise him in your home. You can praise him as you're wandering through the woods and the forests. Praise him as you're wandering through busy streets if you live in a big city. So his name is to be praised from as soon as you get up until you go to bed. Amen. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you that we can get together this morning to praise you. Thank you that you are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all honour and all glory. You are the Almighty King, Lord of Lords, Creator. Yet, at the same time, you are our Father and our friend. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So yes, if I've not said welcome to you, if you've joined a little bit late, welcome to our Sunday service here at Murray Grace Fellowship. It's, like I say, it's a year now, and we're beginning to have what we are normally doing on a Sunday morning. I will give you the word. We will pray over the offerings that are coming in, and then we'll finish with communion together. So if you're new, take a chance to go and get your elements, and we'll take communion together right at the end. Hallelujah. But let's start by looking into the word. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the goodness held within these pages. Thank you for these seeds of wonder and of truth. Thank you that everything in here is literally breathed from you, Father. Written by men, but inspired, breathed from your very mouth. We thank you that this wonderful word is an extension of you, Father. And we look forward to delving into it this morning to see what truths and revelation we can find from it. In accordance with your word, I speak out understanding so that anyone listening can understand the important truths that we're speaking about this morning. Understanding so that your seeds will go deep in our heart, will not be stolen. Understanding so his seeds will germinate, grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do pray that every time before I look at the word. about understanding, because it's absolutely vital. And I've mentioned it quite a few times when I preach. When you read the word, pray for understanding, because that's what you want. You want understanding so those seeds are not stolen. And I pray that you will understand what the Lord is trying to get at this morning. Okay, turn with me to Psalm 23. What are we? Just probably about halfway through this psalm. Can't remember, is this the fifth or the sixth time I've looked at it? I'm not sure. But I'm looking at this abundant life psalm. It's a psalm that David wrote, yes, but it's a promise of what we've got under the new covenant. And this is a psalm all about grace. So call it the abundant life grace. Call it the abundant life psalm. Call it the grace psalm. Call it the new covenant psalm, whatever you want. But this is for us. Amen. And it's all about what we have through and because of the finished work of our shepherd. The finished work of Jesus Christ. And it's an incredibly encouraging psalm. I mentioned that last week. It's incredibly encouraging, especially if you're going through difficult times. Because even through difficult times, what we saw last week was that our shepherd's always with us. Always there. Never away. Hallelujah. And I hope you're being blessed by this kind of in-depth study of a familiar scripture. We all know Psalm 23. It's a passage that, well, I don't know about you guys, but when I was in school and we got assemblies, we'd hear this. It's a psalm that you hear at all funerals in Scotland. It's a very familiar psalm. And it's a great psalm to study, especially if you think you know it well. I mean, sometimes my greatest revelations of scripture is from passages that I think I know really well. I love, for instance, getting deeper revelation about righteousness. And I love reading and studying the with Jesus with the encounter of the woman at the well, and when Jesus talks about the prodigal son. You know, very familiar passages. But you know, when you get revelation, new revelation from that, it is deep, deep revelation. And Psalm 23 is a bit similar to those kind of passages. It's very familiar, but it's an incredibly deep passage. It has layer upon layer of meaning. And just because it's familiar, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be studying it. Amen. So let's read Psalm 23 together. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an encouraging scripture. Even just by reading it and reading the English in this translation, this is encouraging. But you know, when we study it, when we rightly divide the word and compare it to other parts of scriptures and see what David's saying here, this is just so, so encouraging. And I want to complete my study of verse 4 today. I looked at verse 4. Sorry, I keep looking this way because I've got it stuck on another computer screen there. I've been meditating on verse 4 for this week, the end of it, because I just kind of skimmed over the end of verse 4 last week. Spoke about his rod and his staff, about being comforted. But that came right at the end of the message, and I just didn't have time to really go into it. So I always knew I was just going to skim over it last week and look at it in greater depth. So I've been meditating on that part for this week. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is the rod? What is the staff? You know, in the context of our walk today. He restoreth my soul. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, first thing I wanted to do while I was preparing for the message was to find out what a rod and a staff was. You know, for a traditional shepherd. For a shepherd at the time of when this was written, I wanted to know what a rod and a staff was, because I kind of, whenever I picture a shepherd, it's just with a big crook. You know, one thing. But this is clearly two different things. So what is the rod, what is the staff, and how were they used by traditional shepherds? And I'm also going to get into the Hebrew to see what that word comfort made. I wanted to see also how this would relate to how a shepherd would operate with his sheep, but then how it relates to us. Because, you see, this is a picture. You know, Jesus isn't literally standing over us with a rod and a staff. We are not sheep, literally. This is a picture, an analogy, a description of how the Lord relates to us today. And I wanted to see what this picture meant for us under the new covenant, living under grace, because it's not literal. So what is the picture? What is David trying to write down to tell us in the future? What's he trying to indicate about our relationship with the Lord today? So let's do some Hebrew. What does that word comfort mean? Well, that word in Hebrew is the word nokam. I think that's how you pronounce it. It is to sigh or to breathe strongly. The implication is to be sorry, to console or to avenge. Also to comfort, to ease. But it also means to repent. Now this word, it's used 108 times in the Old Testament. And it's mainly translated as comfort or repent, depending on the context and the subject of the verse. And in this verse, it is translated as comfort. And that's completely appropriate for this context, especially given the 3.5 verses before, when it's all about our comfort, bringing us peace and encouraging us. So that means to comfort, to ease, to console. And when I thought about that, I could extend that in my mind. You know, if I'm being comforted, if I'm being put at ease, if I'm being consoled, that to me is on the road to seeing peace, seeing joy. They're possible from this. I saw encouragement. I saw guidance. And we all know these are things that the Lord does for us and to us. So I think that's easy enough to understand, this word comfort. It's about comforting, easing, consoling, encouraging, guiding, moving to peace. It's a pretty simple word to understand. So that was easy. So what about the rod and what about the staff? Excuse me. So I think I told you a few weeks ago that I got a new book recently, and it was written by a pastor who used to be a shepherd. But as a child, a teenager, he also used to live in a rural East African country where they had traditional shepherds. And he used to spend time with these shepherds. Then he became a shepherd himself, and then he became a pastor. So this book he's written is fascinating. So he gives his insights as a pastor, but he also gives his insights of shepherds from rural, traditional settings where their lifestyle hasn't changed for millennia. So what he's saying is you can look at these rural East African shepherds and kind of relate that to say, well, that's probably the kind of way they operated at the time of David writing Psalm 23. So it's fascinating. So I looked there and seen what this chap wrote about rods and staff, because he said they're two different things. So he spoke about the rod being like a club, and I use my right hand for that, an offensive weapon used by the right hand. And shepherds were very skilled in the use of this club. And he said it was like an extension of their right arm. It was almost like it was attached to their mind, that when they threw it or used it, It was very much an extension of them. They were just so skilled in using these rods. And an extension of their right arm for fighting, for example, for fending off predators, protecting the sheep, chasing away hyenas, for example, in this man's experience. He also said it was used to discipline the sheep in a sense of correcting them from going on a wayward path. So if a sheep was kind of going wayward, he would throw this club and it would bounce at the side of them and it would chase them kind of back into the fold, into the flock, as it were. But used for guidance, not used for battering them over the head or for hurting them. So the rod was seen as a shepherd's power and authority, and an extension of himself, almost. Now, contrary to tradition, contrary to some religion teaching, God does not hit us with his rod. Oh, he doesn't send thunderbolts down upon us. You know, God is not up there, looking down, waiting to clobber us when we misbehave. No, that's not what his rod is for. Psalm 23 tells us it is to comfort and ease and console and bring peace and encouragement. Yes, sometimes moving us from one path to another, guiding us. So what is this rod for us then? Well, turn with me in Matthew 4. Matthew 4. And I want to read from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. It is written, it is written, it is written. Three times Jesus says that. Three times Jesus uses the written word of God against the enemy, in a real sense, to protect himself, for protection. And the same is true for us. His word can be used for our protection and for our safety. When the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, we can say, It is written, just like Jesus did. When sickness comes along our path, we can say, It is written, above all things, God wants me to prosper and be in health. It is written that by his stripes I am healed. When lack and poverty comes to try and rob us of what we want to do in our lives and in the kingdom, we can say, It is written that he became poor so I might be made rich. It is written that my spirit has been created in righteousness and true holiness, when the enemy tries to remind you that you're worthless and you're a nothing. And I could go on and on and on. And you can too, if you know the word. And what about this disciplining factor? How does God keep us from sin? How does God keep us on the straight and narrow? What's the rod that he uses for doing that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:34. It says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Truth about righteousness keeps us from sin. Where do we find out about righteousness? In the Word of God. Knowledge of the Word keeps us on the straight and narrow, brothers and sisters. Not the potential hammering from something of God. No, no, no. We also know it is the love of God that restrains us. That's what the Word says. There's another truth from the Word of God. See, under the new covenant, under a grace context, under the church age, I see the rod as a picture of God's Word. The God-breathed scriptures. The Word, we've got lots of teaching on this. The Word is as important to us today as it was to the people it was written to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. And that's one of the fundamental axioms here at Murray Grace Fellowship. The importance of His Word in our lives. It's the agent of permanent change. Hallelujah. So that's the rod. What about the staff? What was that for? Well, I love the description that the pastor wrote in his book about rural traditional shepherds with their staff. Longer tool, specifically designed for every shepherd. It was fitted to their hand. But it was a tool designed especially for sheep. The pastor said these things don't work with goats, don't work with cows, don't work with a buffalo. Only used for sheep. And it was used on individual sheep and in different ways for different sheep. He wrote, for example, of some sheep who just simply liked to feel the rub of the staff across their side. It was comforting to them, just to feel that staff. In fact, they would come along and rub themselves on the staff, stand against it. In a sense, it was a way for them to relate to the shepherd, to relate to their shepherd, to be close to their shepherd, to connect with their shepherd. And he would also use the staff to hook and pull out of difficulty the sheep. So if they were stuck in mud or a ravine or in a crevice or wherever, you hook them and ease them out. And then it came to me, obvious, this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to John 1. John 1:32, and John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." That was Jesus Christ. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." We see, and John saw and describes to us, so we can see, the Spirit descending upon Jesus at the start of his ministry and not leaving. We then see Jesus operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit through the ministry. And we also see Jesus at times going off on his own for rest and for prayer. Times that I see Jesus relating to the Father through the Holy Spirit. And then look at John 16. John 16 and verse 7. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, so it's speaking to you. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," hey, "the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will." And we get this long list of what he's going to do. Jesus telling his disciples of the Holy Spirit, called the Comforter here, who would come once Jesus had gone. Now, the disciples seem to have forgotten all of this pretty soon afterwards when the crucifixion comes along. But that must have been a real comfort to them at the time when Jesus told them it. And then we see them benefiting in Acts. Acts 2. Oh, pardon me. Acts 2, 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Awesome. And now here we see, under grace, under the new covenant, under the age of the church, we see believers filled with the Holy Spirit. We see the Comforter coming to them to do what? To do what it says on the tin. To comfort. Yes, to help us operate in power and authority. And that dynamis power. But also to comfort them. So we see Jesus using God's word, and we see the Holy Spirit upon him and with him. Jesus needed the word and the Spirit. We see the early church being given his written word through the epistles. And they already had the Old Testament. And we see them being filled with his Holy Spirit. So the early church, the original disciples, the original apostles, the folk going out to spread the word, needed the word and the Spirit. And the same is true for us, my friends. Same is true for us. His word and his Spirit are his rod and his staff. And they're here to comfort us. This is what David is telling us as new covenant believers, comforted by his word and his Spirit. Now, I had a lovely picture on Saturday morning. I was starting to write out some notes for the message, and it was just before communion. But I was sitting here at my desk, and I was staring out the window. I think I was actually looking at the bird table just across the road there. So I was looking at the birds, and my mind was wandering. I started to daydream. Now, you may think, oh, that's terrible, but it's not. I've been reading recently that as we let our mind wander, as we daydream, that is when our mind becomes the most receptive to things, and it's also when our mind becomes the most creative. So daydreaming is actually a good thing for us to do. So I was sitting here daydreaming, just getting ready for communion, and I saw a picture in my mind of a traditional shepherd. You know, and it was... I think now, we actually just watched Ben-Hur last night, and I loved the images of the back of Jesus in that, you know, long golden hair and robes. And that's what I saw yesterday, when I come to think of it. A shepherd exactly like that, with a rod in his right hand and a staff in his left hand. And then that picture transformed, you know, like a PowerPoint slide. That one sort of disappeared and another one came in. And I saw another picture. And this time, it was of how Father God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are described in The Shack. You know that book called The Shack came out many years ago, caused a bit of a controversy, but has some great things in it, especially about righteousness and forgiveness. Anyway, I saw... In the same place where I saw the shepherd, the rod and the staff, I saw God the Father in the middle with her arms. Yes, I say her, because in this book, God the Father is a large black woman. But anyway, I saw God the Father in the middle with her right arm over the shoulder of Jesus and her left arm over the shoulder of the Holy Spirit. The way they were depicted in this book. Now we know Jesus is called the Logos, or the Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that is talking about Jesus. And I think that that picture was a confirmation from God for me that what I was seeing about the rod and the staff was a good picture. You see, yeah, what we see in verse 4 of Psalm 23 is a picture for us under grace, under new covenant, and under the church age. And it's an analogy of his word and his spirit. This is what the Lord uses to comfort us. The word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I just thought at that moment, yes, of course. I thought, what else do we need for comfort? Nothing. You know, in terms of being put at ease, being at peace, being comforted, being encouraged, what else do we need? Nothing. And I thought backwards in this verse. I thought, okay, if the Lord wants to comfort us, to ease, to put us at ease, to console us, to encourage us and bring peace, what is he going to use? Of course, he is going to use his word and his spirit. And all of a sudden, it was, this is so obvious. Why have I not seen this before? See, that's the wonder of rightly dividing the word and studying familiar verses. Why have I never seen that before? I don't know why I've never seen that before, but I've seen it now. Amen. Kind of obvious, isn't it? And you might say, well, but Vic, surely he uses other things. You know, like people, for example. And I thought, okay. I thought, well, I'm thinking about how I, as a pastor, as a person, comfort people. And it's always, always through two ways. Something from the word of God, or something I'd be prompted to say by the Holy Spirit. So even if other vehicles are used, like people, I think we could argue fundamentally, foundationally, that the comfort we are being given from the Lord comes from his word and his spirit. And that is what the rod and the staff are indicating for us under new covenant, under grace, under church age. Awesome. His rod and his staff are God's word and the Holy Spirit. These are what God uses to encourage us. Not sickness. Not poverty. He doesn't batter us over the head with his rod. Not trials and tribulations. Although, yes, we can learn from them, but they're not from him. If something is coming to steal and to kill and to destroy, like sickness, like illness, like poverty, that's not from the Lord, that's from the enemy. He uses his word and his spirit to move us along, to get us on the right path, to protect us, to ease and comfort, to bring peace and joy. You could also then turn it around a little bit and say this morning, you know what, if I'm not at ease, if I'm not feeling comforted, if I'm not feeling peaceful, you can ask yourself, what am I missing from his word? What am I missing from my relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because that's the two places where comfort comes from. So if there is something you think, oh, it's just not right, I'm not at ease, I'm not at comfort, what have you missed in the word of God? Get into it, delve into it, find what the word of God says about your situation and let him comfort you that way. And also spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Get to your quiet place. Let him speak to you. Be it out by the beach. Be it in your closet. Wherever. Be it with worship blaring through your headphones. I don't know how you do it. But get to that place where you can hear the Holy Spirit and let him comfort you that way. Because that is where we find comfort. In his word and with his spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.